Welcome back. 3 o'clock hour. Intact. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Braden Zaprenant. Adam Klug on the ones and twos, and we're just hanging out before a ball game. Padres, Dodgers, 7-10 matchup.
That's a late ball game for us. Yes. This, even though it's only like, what, like 20, 30 minutes past? 30 minutes later than normal?
It feels like a really long time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like we are up well past the point we should be starting a game. But you're right. It is only 30 minutes from where the Padres play their game.
We used to do this all the time.
Yes. We used to go as late as 7:35.
Yeah, the 7:40 starts were rough. Remember those Friday 7:40 starts the Padres used to do?
I miss the 6:10 starts of COVID.
So do I.
Those are my favorite. Yeah,
I wouldn't object to those coming back.
I don't think they could ever do that, though.
Did you ever care? Tony, did you ever care as a player what time the game was? Do you have a favorite game time that, like, as a player compared to a broadcaster?
I didn't like 6:40 at the time. At the time, it was only the Diamondbacks doing it. I liked the regular 7:05. It felt like starting 6:40 wasn't that big a difference, but now that I'm on the other side, it definitely is a bigger difference when you start 30 minutes earlier. So.
You're in bed 30 minutes earlier.
That's right. Exactly.
3:35 starts.
And the game is only 2.5 hours. It's not 4 hours.
I've always, and maybe it's just because I grew up in, I've always liked this baseball schedule, like, night, night, day. I've always enjoyed that. It makes it complicated to figure out what day it is, but...
Didn't you tell me that you used to determine what day it was by what time your game was? Day game, you knew it was a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Wednesday or Sunday.
I still determine what day it is by day games and night games. I think, okay, when was the last day game? So that would have been Sunday. Okay, so today is Tuesday. All right, cool. that's how I...
Welcome to working in sports.
Yes. Especially baseball.
Exactly. Adam said there was something you wanted to ask.
Yes, I want to broach this subject with you because you actually had an article written about you in Barrett Sports Media, and they were highlighting kind of some of the things you've done while you've worked on this show in 97.3 The Fan. But you said something in the article that was picked up by a Raiders fan and tweeted out, and Adam's putting it on the YouTube right now. If you want to watch us on YouTube, you can just search 97.3 The Fan. So Tony said that... In the article, the Barrett Sports Media article, that San Diego fans still hate the Chargers. And so someone made a blog article out of this, and the title of the blog article is Former Padres outfielder Tony Gwynn Jr. claims San Diego fans, quote, still hate the Chargers. And so this is I think this is kind of controversial.
It was on SI.com.
It was on, SI.com. Well, that's all AI anyway, so we know where that's coming from. But Tony, most of the people are agreeing with you that fans here in San Diego hate the Chargers, and there's some that don't hate that, but I mean, what do you think? You're causing a little bit of controversy out there.
I don't know why. I mean, I didn't say anything. I'm just telling the truth. I generalize. I know that literally everybody in San Diego doesn't hate them, but the large majority do. And the ironic part is I'm not one of them. Like, I still root for the Chargers, so yeah. You know, it wasn't like a hate thing. I didn't know that it was like newsworthy, but you know, SI, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. They like hopping on these
headline. Former Padres outfielder Tony Gwynn Jr. claims San Diego fans, quote, still hate the Chargers.
Yeah,
that's the whole article they read on that.
They literally do. The majority of them still hate the Chargers.
I can't even tell you how many times I get people that tell me, stop talking about the NFL. Stop talking about it. Stop talking about the Chargers or the Rams. It's like...
I was just getting ready to say, like, we don't talk about the Chargers very often because we recognize how much people don't like them. I mean, we talk about them every once in a while, but...
Yeah, when a story presents itself.
It's like every other NFL team, though.
Right, exactly. But I'm saying, though, like, so, I don't know. It's much to do about nothing.
It is.
I didn't even notice it until you just told me, so then I went and looked for it, and I found it.
Yeah. Most people in the comments on the social media posts were in agreement with you. Both
Definitely.
But you know what, Tony? You brought Dodger and Padre fans together
wow.
on this wonderful Tuesday.
I've been able to do that from time to time.
I know. And some guy even said, that's our boy, Dodgers legend, Tony Quinn Jr. That's what it said by a Dodgers
fan. So, Tony, when you go back to Dodger Stadium, do you wear your jersey in the booth with you?
Scraby.
Yeah, you would just show up and flap your glove behind your back to talk to trash talkers as well.
Yeah, that was always legendary.
That was in the Dodger uniform. I guess some love in both spots, so it's all good. Anyway, I wasn't saying anything crazy.
I know.
I love the little comment underneath my guy here, the dude who replied to it. I don't know what he meant by this, yet nobody remembers Tony Gwynn Jr. destroying the Padres playoffs in 2007.
Still bringing it up.
Like, I don't even know where this fits in this whole argument.
They've held on to that, Tony, since it happened, I'm sure.
I guess so. All right. Let's move on. Daily right. Gambit.
We got it.
Let's get to it.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. And we do mean that here. I got sent an article this morning saying that sports gambling is contributing to a lot of families breaking up and a lot of bad things happening. So, yes, please gamble responsibly. It's very important that you do so. If you have any issues, then you need to seek out some help. And you can Google some of those gambler websites and they will help you out with that. With that being said, though, the reactions, you know, I don't know what it's like to win $100,000 in a bet, but there was a video put online, and this is BR Betting, but this person had a 3-pick parlay for plus 46,805. Amari Cooper, Jonathan Taylor, and Ja'Marr Chase all had to score the first touchdown in their game, and Ja'Marr Chase actually made it happen for this kid last night. Hear that? Listen to this kid winning $100,000. He's running around the bar.
No, Chase. Oh my God! I just won $117,000.
All right, so he's just jumping around, and he won $117,000. It later turns out this guy, great kid, because he is paying off his parents' mortgage with the winnings. So very nice of him.
That's great. But a real quick question.
Yes.
I have to ask Adam Klug this. Adam, how excited were you to see Ben on foul territory with the 97.3 the
polo? With the polo on?
He's a team player. I love it.
How excited were you? You probably jumped, had a 40-inch vert when you saw that.
I think I jumped higher than that kid who won $117,000.
That's right.
It's all about the brand, baby.
Same vibes. Same vibes.
At least Ben can get dressed. We're still waiting on Tony to get
Tony's
dressed.
Tony's still getting dressed
the
day.
On the camera
hey,
right
what
now.
What does Pat McAfee say? For the brand.
For the brand.
For the brand. Ben Higgins so. Repping.
Do it, Ben.
Yeah, do it, Ben.
All right, sorry.
No, that's okay.
I had to get Adam's thoughts on that.
That's pretty funny. Ben Higgins, if you want to go see all that, it's on at Foul Territory TV, or we retweeted at 97.3 The Fan SD, or re-zeted, as we say.
Oh, stop it.
Now, ESPN Bet may be in a little bit of trouble, and by
re-zeted.
The way...
Re-zeted.
Re-zeted. ESPN Bet might be in a little bit of trouble because they put out a post on Sunday and it read like this. Devin Singletary intentionally doesn't score a touchdown, so they give the 37.5-point total. Now, people are thinking that this could get them in trouble because they said he intentionally doesn't score a touchdown, so the game went under. Now, ESPN Bet is trying hard to get all of this to go away, but they deleted the post on TikTok, and Devin Singletary could take legal action here. I don't think that he's going to do that. But what I do think is that this is going to be a big lesson for all of these companies that are wading into these gray area waters, because they probably didn't mean that he was shaving points, but some people may read that as him shaving points. Right, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, this is just going to keep, these type of things are going to keep happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just think that more people than ever seem to be involved in gambling than ever, and don't seem to understand that they are gambling at their own risk. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how these threats end up happening after when, and we're having conversations about shaving points and things of that nature. It's only happening because of betting. That's the only reason why we're having this more and more. And I just think it's going to be a tough place for sports to really dig themselves out of the deeper we go.
Yeah, because he was clearly going to score a touchdown. He almost went into the end zone anyway, but he dove down at the last second and didn't go in. So Giants ended up winning the game and they went under. But yeah, Brandon, you have any thoughts on this?
Well, there's a reason why betting was a vice for so long and why it was exactly. illegal for so long. And I think people are starting to understand why, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, kids my age in their, you know, late 20s that are always like, why, if I can handle my own gambling, why can't I gamble? And there's reasons why
not everybody can handle
their
own gambling.
There are reasons why a lot of these vices that are becoming legal now in the United States, not just gambling, were vices and illegal for a long period of time. It's for, you know, a lot of just, there's a lot of can of worms that get opened right. when you legalize
unintended
things like this. Unintended consequences, and these are some of those unintended consequences. And especially in this day and age of social media, where you have people that can access these athletes very easily
yes.
from their phone, and it's
right.
creating
right.
some serious problems. And I don't see this ending particularly well with this. But, you know, when you got people that are like that guy that just won $117,000, you got a lot of money on the line in these games, and you got a running back that goes down early because that's what's best for his team.
And you've lost your life savings.
Yeah, and these guys are,
exactly.
right, exactly. You know, they're going to do some crazy things. And,
Yo.
You know, and it's not good, but this is the bet that all professional leagues have made to make money off gambling.
100%. And I'll say this. This is that what Brayden just covered is like the big problem. In this like particular problem right here, this is, I would assume, because I would assume most older folks like my age aren't the ones getting to hold the Twitter account, because
right.
generally we don't know what we're doing. I'm willing to bet all he's thinking about is the type of clicks he can get with something outrageous he said, not thinking about the ramifications of what was actually posted on TikTok.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, how can I get the likes? How can I get the clicks from
by
this?
Misleading everyone on purpose?
1,000%, and it works every time. Advertisers reward it, and so it keeps happening. And it's you know, I hate to say it, but it's gonna at some point involve somebody's life, and then at that point people are gonna be like appalled. I can't believe this happened.
Well, I mean, it's already done that,
if you're paying attention, you would have known it's coming.
People do what's incentivized, and that's in like all aspects of life.
Well, that's why I'm gonna jump in right here. It doesn't have to do with gambling, but off of what Brayden said about incentives, I'll ask you the question, Tony. Did you see the news that the Pirates DFA'd Rowdy Tellez today?
Yes, of course I saw it. And he had a bonus coming his way that
he
was about to attain.
He was 4 plate appearances away from a $200,000 incentive.
Oh, get out of here, Pirates.
Do we smell anything fishy going on here is the question?
You don't need
smelling
to smell
anything.
It.
They're delivering it to all of us.
They're showing it to you. Yeah, they're like bringing it to your living room.
That's a bad-smelling pierogi coming from Pittsburgh right now.
I
tell you what, they better be drafting and developing, because ain't nobody going to sign there. Nobody. Like, these are the type of things. Definitely ain't going to get a veteran to sign there, ever.
Circus
like,
organizations doing circus things.
And there'll be no agent is going to allow their client to take an incentive-based contract with them ever again.
Well, okay. So let me extrapolate a little bit.
You talk about
no free agents signing there. What about when it comes to retaining your own talent long-term? I'm looking at in the direction of a very talented young pitcher who they may want to lock up long-term.
Who's that?
Well, I mean, they
I know.
The rookie of the year runner-up.
They eventually got to Brian Reynolds, who was guy beforehand. So
he had to put his foot down, though.
He did. It took a long time for him to get there, but eventually he got where he wanted. Paul Skenes won't be a Pirate. I can guarantee it. Right now, you're hearing it for he won't be a Pirate when it comes time for that. He'll be gone.
Beyond his rookie contract, you're saying.
In the same way, Gerrit Cole was up out of there. They moved him, too. Same thing. It's the same exact thing.
Tyler Glasnow.
That's going to happen. Glasnow didn't even get to the big leagues, I don't think, before they moved him. But I'm just saying, Gerrit Cole, it was pretty obvious he was going to be who he was once he got up out of Pittsburgh. Sure enough, went to Houston, became the best pitcher in the league.
So Pittsburgh is the place where you start your career, but it's definitely not the place where you make your money your career.
If the proof is there.
The proof is in the pudding.
They had Barry an MVP Bonds. Left.
Yeah, Barry Bonds.
We could go down a list.
McCutcheon left and then came back.
McCutcheon is who I was talking about recently.
Yeah, he was the MVP. Yeah. All right, that's it for the Daily Gambit. I did want to quickly mention that the World Series winner odds the Dodgers are +325, the Phillies +450, Yankees +450, Astros +800, and Orioles +1100. The Padres are at +1200. So I still think those are great
odds. Benjamins on that.
Put down those Benjamins on that, everybody, because I think if the Padres win the World Series, you put down $100, you win $1200.
You could be like Adam Klug when Ben Higgins wears a polo.
Jump through the roof.
That's right.
Or don't bet on it. Save your money.
Yeah.
That way you're not upset and want to call one of the Padres if it doesn't happen.
Invest in the stock market.
Right.
Real estate in California is a lot better.
Do something better than gamble.
All right. That is it.
Go ahead, Scraby. Take us to the break, dog.
All right. We got to talk about, real quick before you leave, Tony. You're going to be with us until 4 p.m., and then you'll be back for the Big Five.
I'm not going to be with you guys until 4 p.m. I have to go to at 4 p.m.
Yes, we are taking care of everyone. But anyway, when we get back, we'll talk about Monday Night Football and something that has not been done in at least 84 years happened last night. That's next on 97.3 The Fan. All right, some of the things that we talk about in the break, I mean, you guys are all mad at me
Scraby,
now.
Scraby, you
stop talking,
boy,
dude. Just
a
stop
wild
talking.
Boy.
Stop
a wild boy, man.
Talking.
I was referencing a...
No, just stop.
I know, I'm not going to... Okay, fine. All right, fine.
Just, the hole that you have dug.
I've digged a big hole.
The hole that you have dug, you're not going to get yourself out of.
Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile.
Good call.
Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Now, before break, I told everyone that there was something that happened in the Monday Night Football game that hasn't happened since at least 84 years, and here it is. The Commanders and the Bengals combined for 0 punts and 0 turnovers in the game last night, which is like astronomically, it seems impossible. So that is the big stat. Since 1940, they haven't had a game like this, which kind of surprises me. But last night's game was really fun, and not the Bills and the Jags. That was not very fun. The Commanders and the Bengals, very fun. Huge fan of Jaden Daniels now.
First, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think the Redskins, the Commander.
Chris Ellis on vacation.
Has punted all year. He hasn't even got a chance to play, I don't believe, this season.
Really?
So, yeah.
Maybe so, Caleb Williams was talking about him when he.
when he said his punter's not going to have to punt. Yes.
Yeah. So. You know, there's that.
Yeah, there is
that's all
that.
I got.
But were you able to watch the game last night, guys? Because I thought the end of the game showed me. It showed me that Jaden Daniels is for real. He was able to do things.
You tell me the guy that won a Heisman
don't usually do it.
Guy that won a Heisman Trophy last year is for real.
Well, yeah, Bryce Young won a Heisman Trophy, and then he was the number one overall pick.
We already talked about that.
We're going to talk about it at 3:40.
Oh, yes, right. We haven't talked about it
yet. We talked about it off air during the break.
Yes, yes. That's what right. we did.
He's good. Well, I think I'm a big fan of him calling the offense, but, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, he's a great offensive mind that has a perfect quarterback for his system over there in Washington in Daniels. I mean, you saw him cook with those type of players in college. I think he's going to do some great things. And there's a lot of guys that are really good coordinators that, you know, don't have what it takes to be head coaches. So I think the mix of not only Jaden Daniels being really good, but I think they got a good system for him, and I think he's set up for success in Washington. They've looked pretty good in all three of their games, including the loss at Tampa.
That's crazy. I forgot Cliff Kingsbury was even there.
He's their OC.
He went to, like, Thailand totally for a year and then came that. Back.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense then. I mean, because Daniels looks like he looks super comfortable. Like, he don't look like any of this is new to him right now.
No.
At least a portion that I saw. I didn't watch the whole game, to be fair, though.
Well, I mean, he was dropping passes to Terry McLaurin that, like, it would be a great pass for a great quarterback to make. Terry McLaurin finally woke up this season. I think he had, like, 30 yards heading into that game.
Is he on your fantasy team,
no,
too?
No, he's not.
He was on my team last year.
I'm a huge Terry McLaurin fan, so Soren I wanted McLaurin. To see him get going. But Jaden Daniels was almost perfect last night. He went 21 for 23 for 254 yards and 2 touchdowns and 39 rushing yards on 12 carries. So the Commanders might be for real, at least the Commanders' offense.
I wonder if Tony remembers the one piece of fantasy football advice I gave him right as I was walking out of the studio on the night of his draft.
Do you remember, Tony?
I don't.
Said,
draft Jaden Daniels?
Punt quarterback, wait on Jaden Daniels.
Did you, Tony?
I don't remember.
I don't think
he
did.
He's not everything I say anyways. It doesn't matter.
That's true.
This is my problem. I got 3 leagues this year, which was just...
Yeah.
I'm so irritated that I didn't listen to myself and didn't do one of these leagues. Gosh.
3 leagues is my max. I can't do any more than that. I mean, 3's pushing it.
Wait, guys, you're going to get called by the chat. You're going to get called first world problems because that's what happened yesterday. When I said that SoFi needed air conditioning, I got crushed for
why?
It.
It's an open air facility, Scraby. Why does
it's
it need...
not, though.
It is. It's an open air facility.
Yeah, it's
when
open
there's
air.
Lightning, the game gets postponed. It's an open air facility.
It's not funneled down to the field. That is for sure. Anyway, we got to get to break.
Hey, just because your Niners were making you sweat doesn't mean it's hot down
it wasn't
there.
Because of that.
That's all it was is that they were getting taxed.
Yeah, exactly.
They were not getting
slowly blowing the game to the little brother Rams in that division. And all of a sudden, Scraby got sweaty. They need AC in here.
You know what, Brady? We don't have to have you on a little more often.
No, I'm done with him. He's done. He's off the show forever.
I'm enjoying the roasting right now.
I am not enjoying the roasting. I don't know how all this happens all the time.
Well, during the break, it set yourself up for some... some roasting.
Yeah, you did.
You set yourself up, dude.
I didn't say anything wrong. We're going to go to break,
wow,
and we're never going to mention what happened in the last break
Wild
again.
Boy,
and when we get back, we are going to try something new. It's called Who's to Blame? And you'll find out all about it next on 97.3 The Fan. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. All right. Enough of you on the chat having fun with all of the things that we talked about last segment. And thank you, Sergio, for saying leave Scraby alone. I appreciate that. We have a new segment here. Braden, Tony, and I did it. And it's called Who's to Blame? So I'll explain on the other side of traffic. All right, guys, we're going to try something new here, and it could be one and done, like my game last week was one and done. But this one, I think, is going to be a little bit more fun because we get to blame someone for everything that's on this list. We have 5 topics, and we'll go through and see who's to blame. So let's get started with you, Braden, and we're going to start like this. Who's to blame for the White Sox losing most likely more than 120 games this season?
That'd be Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner of the Chicago White Sox, for the organization that he has put together. And I have talked to some people that have been part of this White Sox organization. It is a hellhole for a lot of the minor leaguers in that organization, for people, for players that are coming through. One player that was a part of the White Sox this year that is no longer part of the White Sox said just trying to get extra work in was a chore for most of the coaches as part of that organization of just trying to get some extra BP or work. It was like, ah, I can't believe we have to do that. The scouting reports are so archaic for the Chicago White Sox. A lot of the minor leaguers asked for a trade at the deadline because they couldn't handle being part of this organization, and it's a lot more than just losing ball games. So the organization that Jerry Reinsdorf has run in Chicago and the pieces that he has brought in to run this organization from the top all the way down, it is a organizational problem. It's not just the players on the team. A lot of those guys, unfortunately, drew the short stick on being part of that org. And the guys that end up leaving talk about how much better they are in different organizations. So I'm going to go with the owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, for what he has created over there in Chicago.
Tony, what do you think? Who's to blame for the White Sox losing most likely more than 120 games?
Jerry's probably a piece of that, but I think this is a group project. And I'm not talking about the group that's there now. They've only been there this season. In some sense, I'm looking at the big league side, right? Because honestly, at the minor league level, and I'm positive that they don't have the same amenities that a lot of the other teams have. It's just about going out there and performing, like going to do your job. So, you know, the minor leaguers, if anything, as a minor leaguer, the organization I'm going to have a chance to get to the big leagues the fastest, it's probably going to be like the White Sox, right? They have guys on that roster that have, I think the most is like 3.5 years of service time. So, you know, whereas you might get into a better organization that can't quite, you know, that has a bunch of guys there that you're not going to ever move. So from that standpoint, I would think it as a place you want to be, but you can clearly see there's a breakdown just based on the kind of dynamic, not just in the minors, but I'm only talking about the big leagues because I don't know what's going on in the minor leagues, but that is, you look at the fact that they had lost 20 consecutive series, right? I mean, that is one of those things that has kind of marinated throughout the organization. So, yes, Jerry Reinsdorf is a part of it. It's all the way from the top down. Certainly, you know, not having the best coaches doesn't help you at all. And in terms of instructing down on the minor league side, and, you know, Grady Sizemore is being asked. And, you know, basically what I did hear was that guys enjoy playing for him. So maybe that's a step in the right direction, but there's a whole lot to fix for the White Sox. Everybody's to blame.
I blame Tony La Russa. Ever since he got hired to this organization, they've had some trouble. I mean, they were going to go to the World Series years ago. It didn't happen. They blew up the team. Now they're losing a bunch of games. And Tony La Russa is in my crosshairs. All right, Tony, you're going to be up first on this one. Who's to blame for the current Royals collapse? If you don't know, the Kansas City Royals are sitting in the third wild card spot. They're 2-8 in their last 10, and they've lost 7 in a row.
I don't know that this qualifies as a collapse.
Mini collapse.
No one was talking about the Kansas City Royals when this year started. Quite frankly, they weren't even talking about them. They were barely talking about them at the break. I mean, we were talking a lot about Bobby Witt Jr. But, you know, this team, in my opinion, has overachieved a little bit. And despite their 2-8 record in the last 10, they're still in this. And so even if they don't end up being in the playoffs, I just don't know that I'm comfortable calling it a collapse.
Okay.
They were second place, I think, in the division at best, and, you know, have kind of fallen down a little bit. Were they third in that division now? So, or fourth, I think Detroit actually caught them. So, I think I don't know that this is a collapse, though. They haven't played well, but I don't know that they were expected to be there when it was all said and done.
I can't blame Bobby Witt Jr., my guy who won me the double title in the fantasy championships. I don't think there's anyone to blame here, really. Just a little bit of bad baseball being played at the wrong time. But Tony's probably right. They overachieved all season long. That's all I really got on this one. Braden?
Yeah, I mean, if you start looking at some of their splits, it's not drastically different. But I will say, I mean, in the month of September, They've hit 212 as a club, and they're hitting over 270 in every other month, with the exception of June. So bats got a little cold there in the last month of the season, but you know, the Royals are still probably going to make the playoffs. The bigger collapse is the Minnesota Twins, if you want to consider that a collapse.
Yes,
I mean, they have kind of fallen apart down the stretch in a spot where they thought they were going to make the playoffs, and now they're on the outside looking in right now. And with the Tigers already winning earlier today, they continue to add to their lead. Now a half game up on Kansas City, and Minnesota 1.5 behind Detroit and a game behind KC. We talk about the National League wild card a lot just because we're focused on it a lot more, but the American League wild card is going to come down to the final weekend, too. Minnesota game out behind Kansas City, and Seattle's 1.5 games out with 6 to play and 5 to play for Detroit. So it should be a wild finish for both wild cards at the end of the weekend.
All right, we're cruising through this nicely. I'm up first on this one. Who's to blame for college sports being the way it is? And my answer is all of those greedy people at the top. The guys who run the SEC, the guys who run the college football playoff, the guys who run all of those conferences that are pocketing all the money and then turning around and putting the surcharge on the Tennessee fans for having to pay their players for NIL. So this is easy for me. College sports is the way it is because of greedy human beings. Braden.
Well, I think it's a lot of, well, there's a lot of greed to be involved with this as well. But it is, you know, it's a business, and when things get popular, you know, the suits show up to collect some money, and there's different people to find money, and lawyers and everything start leeching off of a lot of these situations. But you know, I think the biggest thing is really, you know, and here's going to be a different take for you guys. I think it's the coaches not wanting to play big games that has created this, you know, environment of conference realignment and trying to force a lot of big matchups to happen. Because at the end of the day, college football makes all their money from television because people watch on television, and they keep moving everything around because they want the best matchups and with the biggest fan bases because they make the most money on those particular matchups. And that's why you have all this division with college athletics, and you got, you know, Cal being in the ACC, and you got the Big 12, you know, having schools like Arizona in it, and being conference mates with UCF, which make no sense, and everything's just kind of unraveling right now for college football, which has made a huge impact on a lot of sports that shouldn't be impacted by this. So, you know, I think it's on a lot of these schools for not wanting to play. But it, in reality, it's probably because of the schools that have the most fan bases or the biggest fan bases, they're the ones that want to keep all the money, and everybody else has to try to fight to get their own exchange. And it's created a big problem in college athletics that goes all the way down to all the players that, you know, feel like they're putting all their time and effort in and not getting the same kind of love. So I'm going to go with the, kind of what Scraby was saying. Some of the top leagues wanted to save all the money for themselves and not spread the wealth.
Greedy. Tony, who's to blame for college sports being the way it is?
Yeah, see, I think that take is short-sighted, and here's why. It wasn't all it as the way. I mean, it's short-sighted in terms of the why, right? Because it's complex. I think it starts with, yes, the money and how much money is being made. It used to be that you get to the college football, BCS, bowl games, that's where the money was, right? Then it shifted. And you can make the argument it started to shift as, you know, streaming, how we started viewing games differently. As that started to approach, then it became a shift to, as Braden said, how do we get the best matchups in game? But you can make the argument for teams in the SEC, it's always been that way. They have, but yet we've still seen them as well move. It was a strategic way to get through your schedule so that you could have one or none losses and be able to get that pot of gold at the end. And then you have the issue with basically the collegiate athletes being basically suppressed in what they could make. And you let that go on for years and years and years and years, and now there's this buildup where that collegiate athlete ain't taking a dime less than what they should get, and they're going to keep putting that pressure on. And so you got all this kind of come together at once, which leads us to this big heaping mess we have now.
Yes. All right. Two more to go, and we're going to start with you, Braden. Who's to blame for the Bryce Young situation in Carolina?
I think it's the Carolina Panthers to blame for the situation.
Well, yes, and but who's to blame within the Carolina Panthers?
It's the Carolina Panthers organization for drafting him in the first place.
Okay, there we go.
Because here's the thing with Bryce Young, I watched him play in person when Alabama played Tennessee. I said, that's the most athletic guy in the field. But at the same time, just looking at his size, I'm like, this guy's not going to survive in the National Football League with the size that he is, knowing that whatever team drafts him is not going to have a good offensive line. That's why they're drafting early in the NFL draft. But you look at a guy like Bryce Young. Bryce Young had the best offensive line in the country in high school, going to modern day up in Santa Ana. They have the best line every year because they're the best football team in high school football every single year. And then what happens? Bryce Young then goes to Alabama. And Alabama's got the best offensive line in the country. And they also have the best team in the country with a lot of weapons around. Then you throw this guy to the Wolves in Carolina with a lousy O-line last year, although it's gotten a lot better. And now all the weapons are different. I mean, you basically set this guy up for failure from out of the get-go because you wanted to draft, you know, the sexy pick of, well, he's the Heisman Trophy winner without doing your homework. I always thought, and I said on the draft show that we did a couple years ago, that C.J. Stroud is the most prolific quarterback in the National Football League's draft that year because he had the measurables. And even though Bryce Young is he's a great football player. In the National Football League, it's more than just that. Just like in college, it's more than just having the best high school players move up. And so, for me, I just think Carolina was a little overzealous on how good they thought Bryce Young was going to be, and they didn't surround him with any help. And that's why you're in the situation that you're in Carolina.
Tony, who's to blame for the Bryce Young situation in Carolina?
The owner, Tepperd, and every coach that he's hired. I think none of this is on Bryce Young. And I don't think they were overzealous in drafting him. I think they were dumb in everything they've done after. They haven't even tried. I shouldn't say that. This year, as Braden said, has gotten a little better, but it's still not good. And when you take a full year of beatdown, and then you change coaches, you know, we've seen this story before, and I don't think it has anything to do with Bryce Young. We saw it with Alex Smith. In some ways, we saw it with Baker Mayfield. We've seen it with a lot of guys. We've seen it with Sam Darnold. He's experiencing it in real time. Like, he went through that same organization. Both of those quarterbacks went through that organization. They both had the same result. They both got beat up. And so they're in systems, A, that they've been in for a little bit, so that they're playing better. But B, they went to organizations that understood what it would take for them to be successful. Clearly, the Panthers don't have that. And I hope for Bryce Young's sake, he gets out of there and gets a new start someplace else.
Yeah, who's to blame for Bryce Young's situation in Carolina? Well, that would be, as you said, Tony, the owner, David Tepper, because that guy he fires everyone on a whim. I mean, the head coach who drafted Bryce Young was fired mid-year. Bryce Young has not had much of a chance in Carolina, and I agree that he would probably be better suited going somewhere else and finding an actual team that's willing to let him develop instead of just throw him under the bus. But the Carolina Panthers, if I'm a fan of theirs, I'm so angry at the ownership situation because that guy is not going to win with the way he does things.
Circus organizations do circus organization things.
There you go.
Same as the Next. Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes, let's go to the last one. We got to hurry up on this one. Tony, you're up. Who's to blame for the Bengals' 0-3 start?
We blame a lot of owners on this segment. That's right, though.
Probably the organization again. I mean, think about it. I mean, my guy, they have fostered in the kind of disorganization on their own. Not getting the Ja'Marr Chase thing. That's lingered for however long. And this was going to be, and here's what happens when you don't take care of the dudes on the team as adults in that locker room. They start to think to themselves, okay, this is how it's going to be when it's my turn. And then therefore, you aren't going to get the best effort out of the dudes who are in that locker room. Professional sports is a very fickle thing, right? Everybody is down to do what they have to do. As long as they feel like at the end of the day, you got their back, you're going to take care of them. The moment in sports they stop to feel like they stop feeling like that, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. And so, you know, I think there might have been some grace period, right? Because Burrow got broke off, didn't he?
Yes.
So, you know, there's like, okay, well, maybe things are changing. And here we are. Ja'Marr Chase, basically, according to him, not being told the truth. And so guys start to see that. And I think it affects on the field eventually.
It is the organization to blame here because of the Ja'Marr Chase situation. But I also think it's unfair of me, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's Ja'Marr Chase in a little way to blame, too, because he didn't practice all preseason, and he came into the year. It's kind of like Brandon Ayuk is definitely to blame for him being terrible this year, but they didn't have any practice, and you can't substitute the preseason football for trying to get going during the season. And again, it's unfair of me to put it on Ja'Marr Chase, but I think
it's not stopping you, apparently.
It's not stopping me, but he did win me a fantasy matchup, so in the end, it's the organization.
Oh, hold on. Do you have Ja'Marr Chase in your fantasy team?
It's the organization.
That's why he picked this gripe.
All right.
I'm going with the organization. I've seen him on Hard Knocks enough. The Brown family is just like the Spanos family. It's a lot of families that inherit the teams throughout the years that don't buy the team, that want to put the effort in. They're a circus organization. They always have been, and they always will be. They didn't protect Joe Burrow, got him hurt the first couple of years. They haven't done a good job with the offensive line, and they're cheap. Even though in the National Football League with a salary cap, cheap organizations don't have success.
Yes. All right. I think that went well. We might be doing that again. And coming up next, actually, we're going to be playing trivia, but it's going to be Braden versus the fans today.
Oh, man. I'm not going to
So I finally get to ask trivia. You're not good at trivia? Well, that's a good thing for all of you out there. Give us a call. 833-288-0973.